Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe with a question for you to ponder.
What role does intercessory prayer have in your life? You have the capacity to change people's lives by lifting them up in prayer. Do we even do that? Are you even praying for the people you love dearly, for your spouse, for your kids and grandkids, for your best friend, for your nieces and nephews and people like that? Do you even do it? And again, if you're not a mom, you're not off the hook. There are people in your life that, just like Jesus, you can adopt. You can just go, I'm taking on that person, and I'm going to pray for them.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hi there, and welcome to The Balanced Word. Wouldn't it be incredible to actually hear Jesus pray? Well, you can, and today we'll do just that. The Lord is just a short time from the cross in John chapter 17, and he has just finished addressing his disciples. Now it's time for a conversation with his Heavenly Father. Oh, what a joy it is to eavesdrop on this most glorious conversation. And Pastor Dave Rolfe believes it really gives us a good idea of how we should pray for others, including our kids.
He prays, he says, I don't want them to be kept from the world. The system is here. The world is what it is. And the truth is, because I believe more in them than just what the system will create, I'm not praying for you to help them to escape the system. I'm praying that they will, as they find their own calling in life, that they'll be protected from the enemy. The world isn't the enemy. The devil is the enemy. And sometimes people get so protective of their kids. You know, the truth is, as he says here, not only that they're in the world, so oh well, keep them insulated as much as possible. No, he's like, no, they are sent into the world. They have a mission. They have an obligation, a responsibility. There's a reason why they are here. And so often, as we pray, we just keep hoping that we can protect our kids from everything out there about the system, when in reality, our prayer should be, man, they are out there. Keep them safe from the enemy. Keep them from the one who would like to destroy them. They're not of the world. I believe in them. I know who the enemy is. The enemy is not people. The enemy is always, as Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The enemy is ultimately a spiritual enemy. And I don't care how hard you try, to protect your kids obsessively will actually make it worse for them. And I, being involved in Christian education for all the years that I was, and still as a pastor, man, I can tell you, you find somebody who's an overly protective parent, and you will find somebody whose kids are going to have issues because of that. See, a lot of people get the idea of Christianity that it's like, oh, let's just huddle up. And we're like a football team in a perpetual huddle. We don't actually get out there and live life because we're so afraid of what might happen out there. Here's the ironic thing. I know so many people who are overly protected by their parents, and the enemy attacks them while they're isolated. The enemy attacks them while they don't see what life is actually like, and they miss out on some of the dreams that they might have for their life, some of the opportunities that they pass up, because they're so being protected. We are not here, and I talked about this last Wednesday night, we're not left on this earth to be isolated. We're not left on this church to be separated. We are left on this world to infiltrate the world. It's our responsibility to go out and make a difference in the world. That's the only reason, really, why we're here. Everything else we do, we can do better while we're in heaven. But here, we have a responsibility to make a difference in the lives of others. And Jesus is acknowledging that. And he could have very easily thought, oh man, these people are going to get chewed up and spit out. Even while they're with me, they're always falling apart. In fact, as soon as I die, they're all going to scatter. But he says, Father, these people, they're yours. They're your kids, and I believe in them. So God, help them to discover what they are sent to do. Help them to discover their calling. I've got to release them. And if we don't learn to release our kids, then we'll suffocate them. It's just that simple. It's hard to see the pain that kids go through in growing up normal. But that's nothing compared to the pain of making your kid some kind of a overprotected freak who doesn't even know how to function in the world. And Jesus understood that. So he's like, you've sent them into the world. Do you believe that those who you are praying for are actually sent by God into the world? And in order to get through that, the only way you can do it is if you really believe they are his. It takes faith to be able to say, wow, this is hard, but they belong to him, and I trust him to protect them, and so I send them out into the world. It doesn't mean just turn them loose when they're 5 years old and go, okay, buddy, you're on your own, time to get a job. But it means that our process of influence is one that's progressively releasing and allowing them to learn lessons when they're in a safe place, when they're still with us, so that, but we understand, my job is to release them, is to send them, because that's what God says he's done. And man, do we need to pray about that? Because it's the hardest thing. I remember one of my professors in seminary years ago who was a big, you know, Christian family guy, and he said, I'm telling you right now, he goes, most of you guys don't have kids yet. The hardest thing you will ever do in your life is to, when you have kids, to give your kids the same freedom that God gives them. The freedom to actually reject God if that's what they choose. And as my kids grew, I realized that, oh my gosh, that's so true. It's so hard to know that I can't do it perfectly and then therefore they're automatically going to be saved and they're automatically going to be happy and fulfilled. And so it's this commitment to the Lord of saying, okay, God, this is scary, but I know you sent them in order to affect and impact this world. And so I want them to be able to do that. I'm going to release them from my obsession with wanting to protect and control them. I have to let them go and trust you. It's a basis of ultimately faith. And then he says also, look at verse 14, I've given them your word. The world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. And then down in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. One of the best things that we can do, and one of the best things we can pray for people, is that God's word will sink into their hearts. That God's word will have an effect that on a spiritual level, it's just registered. Now, it's really frustrating because you can teach your kids the word of God, but you can't make them always obey it. A lot of kids are going to go off and really rebel and get messed up for a time. It's amazing how many of them ultimately come back. I was telling somebody this week who's like, yeah, you know, you probably don't remember me, but, you know, you kicked me out of school years ago, and now I'm doing great. I'm walking with the Lord. I go to your church, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool, but you have no idea how many people sit in my, you know, church who are like, yeah, you kicked me out of school. You fired me. You did, and it's like, but that's what you have to do. You have to be able to say, I've told you the word of God, and I hope that it takes effect, but to pray for that. Now, it's such a blessing when people have the Bible all around them, little cards with Bible verses on them and things like that. That's one thing that Jerry said that they do. And you know, just to put the word of God there. But at the same time, it's to say, okay, God, I've given them your word, but you have their heart. And I'm asking you to set them apart, to make them unique because of your word. When I grew up, I mean, I had a really weird family life. My father was paranoid schizophrenic. My mom was, you know, really badly depressed. And it was a struggle. But one thing they always did is they crammed the Bible down my throat. And I don't recommend that, but the truth is I started reading the Bible when I was 2 and I memorized lots of verses, and I don't know, they probably thought it made them look like good parents because, wow, we have this smart kid who knows the Bible. But until I found the Lord for myself when I was 18, it was just stuff that was in my head. But man, when you're a kid, you learn so much. You soak up information like crazy. And after I came to the Lord, and now I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, taking what I learned from his word that was in some ways given to me in an abusive way, but now the Holy Spirit's able to make me unique because of the way that I learned his his word from as far back as I could remember. And I learned, you know, the words to all the hymns and everything. It was just drummed into me. And then it was with me when the Holy Spirit finally got a hold of my heart. So there's so much in the Bible that talks about the importance of putting God's word, hiding it in your heart, that his word will cleanse your life and things like that. That I think to pray, okay, God, I have given them your word. Now it's up to the Holy Spirit to actually make that real for them, to help them to remember it. And Jesus has just said in the last three chapters, 14, 15, 16, the Holy Spirit will come and let you remember and apply what I've told you, my words. And so to pray that, Lord, I've taught them, but you're the one that has to ultimately make it become a real part of their lives. And you have to be patient for that. Sometimes it takes years. That's why you keep praying. When your kids are off and they're rebelling, just say, okay, God, help some of the stuff that I taught them to just begin to stick with them. Ultimately, you know, again, in that scripture, train up a child in the way he shall go. In the end of it, it says when he is old, he will. Literally, it means he can't get away from it. When the word of God is around your house, I remember plaques that we had on our walls. My dad was just crazy. He had Bible verses plastered everywhere. And again, I don't do that. I don't recommend it. But it's amazing how the power of the word of God, it's alive and powerful. So anything that we give, then we need to pray, okay, God, please just make your word come alive for them. Memorize the Bible when you're young and memory is easy. But memorize it even when you get older and it's a little harder. It'll actually keep you younger. It's good for your brain to do that as well. The living word of God. And then down in beginning with verse 20, he says, I don't pray for these alone, not just my 11, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. He says, I don't just want it to stop with these 11, because I realize their family, their unity, it's going to grow because you're going to bring other people along. And I pray that all the people that they touch would include us, because we've all come to Jesus partly because of the word of their apostles. If they hadn't written the gospels and the epistles, then how would we even know him? So he's praying for us as too, the big family, and saying, make them one. He's praying that the family would extend, just like regular families do. You know, when you get married, all of a sudden now, to a degree, your spouse has taken on another family called in-laws. That's not always the greatest thing. Sometimes it's a huge blessing. There are some people who go, man, I never even saw normal life till I got married and got to know my spouse's family. But, you know, Pastor Jerry in our discussion was talking about when he met Elisa's parents, who they were like really godly people, and they told him, we have been praying for you for so long. Like, how powerful to be like, I'm the answer to someone's prayer for their daughter, you know? But what a blessing to pray for your kid's future spouse, because you realize their family is going to extend. Pray for the kids that they may have. Pray for the friends that they will make. You understand how much success in life comes by people that you're able to attach. Kids that are going to be on their sports teams, those who are involved in their activities, when they go to school, who do they pick out as friends? It's like their family is expanding, and I pray that there will be an amazing unity among them and their future families, among them and their friends. I want them to experience unity on a deep level as the family grows, as it extends. Pastor Ken also said that, you know, he had dated a lot of different women, and you can imagine why it would only last like one date, but no, I really don't know. But when his family met Lindsay, they said, this is the one. This is the one God has for you. And he's like, God, they didn't say that about any of my other girlfriends, but I mean, if you know Lindsay, you understand why. It's like, Kenny, you are not going to do any better than this. You better snag her. But they had been praying for God to bring somebody into his life. That's an important thing for us to pray. And they can't be too young when we start praying it, too. Then it's a blessing when it actually happens. There are some people whose kid gets married, and you're like, guess I should have prayed that more. I'm so thankful for the two girls that God brought for my boys. I couldn't be prouder of them. And I prayed for my boys to find just a girl that God had for them. And to see that answered and to see both of them marry over their heads is incredible. It's awesome. When we were talking, one of the things that really touched me was Anson was talking about his mom, and he said, boy, she still prays for us, but she said, my younger brother, who has some mental challenges and stuff and has really gone through a hard time, he said, my mom just prays that he will find one friend. And it's like, as a parent, you just think, what if your kid was like, I just want one friend for them. But what a mom to just go, that's what I want. I want their circle of influence to just expand a little bit. I think that's beautiful. Finally, in verse 26, as he wraps it up, he says, I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Man, what a great prayer to just say, I just pray that they will know that you love them. That's so transforming. Everything broken in our lives happens because we don't really know how much we are loved. When we realize that God loves us completely, enough to send his son for us, when we realize that he loves us so much that when we mess up, he's like, admit it and it's done, and we admit it and it's done, and we're like, whoa. People mess up because they don't know how loved they are. It's so important when we pray for others, when we pray for our kids, grandkids, and others, our friends, that we ask God, please, just help them to know how much they are loved. Help them to know how special they are to you. What role does intercessory prayer have in your life? You have the capacity to change people's lives by lifting them up in prayer. Do we even do that? Are you even praying for the people you love dearly, for your spouse, for your kids and grandkids, for your best friend, for your nieces and nephews and people like that? Do you even do it? And again, if you're not a mom, you're not off the hook. There are people in your life that, just like Jesus, you can adopt. You can just go, I'm taking on that person, and I'm going to pray for them. Maybe you know some kids who are kind of on their own, and they don't always have the greatest support from home. Take them on and intercede for them. We're all adopted, ultimately. What kinds of things do you pray for people when you intercede? Most of us prayed for our kids, but the kind of stuff we usually pray is, oh God, please help them pass this test. Help them get into a good school. Help them win their game this weekend, or him to score a goal. Help them to be good for me. You know, help them to go to sleep. But, you know, in James chapter 4, James says, you have not because you ask not, but you ask and don't receive because you're asking wrong, thinking about it selfishly. So here we have this example from Jesus, and he's praying for stuff. Most of our prayers are so low level. He's praying for these high level prayers. It just blows my mind. And we need to elevate our game of the kinds of things that we are truly praying for. And if you're praying for people, praying the stuff Jesus prayed for, you know, if you're saying, hey, let them know that they belong to you, God. Let them be unified with each other and with others. Let them find joy and have that be their strength. Let them know that they have a mission in the world, that they are sent, that God has a purpose in why they are here. Let them know the word of God and make that something that really makes them unique. Help them to expand and extend their circle of influence with people that they can feel like they belong with people who also have your love. Ultimately, let them know that God loves you. Now, if you're like going, man, I don't really have anybody to pray those things for, pray them for me. I would love for people to pray John 17 on my behalf. But the truth is, there are other people. You know, maybe, you know, you're on Mother's Day is kind of hard because you're thinking, I'm kind of estranged from my kids. I didn't even hear from them, and it's Mother's Day. I mean, you at least, if your kids feel guilty enough to send you a card, you're like, okay, I must have been a good mom. But, you know, You can still pray for your kids. You can still do the most important thing. In fact, for Jesus, he's praying this prayer knowing that he was going away. So no one can take this away from you, that you can do this. Now, you might be a mom and or a dad, and you might be feeling guilty, like, man, no wonder my kids are so screwed up. I didn't pray any of this stuff. Well, if you're just a bad mom, no chocolate for you. But I'm just kidding. Here's the great news. You can start today. You can begin now to begin to hold up these kinds of prayers for people that you care about, and you can make up for. It's like you can't change the past, but you can change how you pray today, the kinds of things that you lift up to the Lord in the future. Start now, please, and by all means, have a candy bar. Maybe you're feeling bad because your mom didn't pray for you like this. You're like, wow, yeah, that must be great to have memories of a mom that prayed for me. My mom never prayed for me. She would have if she had known better. If you had a mom who just was overwhelmed and didn't know or was busy with other stuff or who didn't care, it's just because she was stupid. She didn't really know. And I shouldn't say that on Mother's Day, but she just didn't know. If she had known what you know, she would have done this for you. She would be doing this for you. Now, there might be people here who don't know Jesus. You've never really entered into a relationship with him. You haven't given him control of your life. Maybe you just got dragged to church because it's like it's Mother's Day, so I forgot to get a present, so fine, I'll go to church with you. Do you understand, if you don't know Jesus, that there are people who have been praying for you? Maybe your mom has been praying for you for a long time. Maybe your mom, who's gone on to heaven, was praying for you. Other people praying for you. They really do. There are people who care about you like this. And you can start your life over today. No, on the day when we celebrate those who give birth, there's no better day than to have your life be reborn today, to start life over. If you give your life to Jesus, and it's free, you do that, you will answer. You will be part of the answer to prayers of the people who love you the most, who just want this to happen. All you have to do is just let him, give him permission. We'll be, after the last song, there'll be people up here in the front who would love to pray with you. If today is the day when you decide, I need my life to start over, I need to be a part of the answer of people who love me's prayers, but then I want to move forward and have the life that people who love me have always wanted me to have, come down and pray a prayer and receive Jesus. It's free. You can be forgiven, and you can finally begin to discover how special you really are, how much you are truly loved.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to finish up our time in prayer, here's Dave once again.
Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for this example of here's how you pray. Here's what you need to do for people you care about, whether it's our kids or grandkids or our friends and loved ones, people we work with, Lord. This is how we, like you, can be a part of changing their lives. So please help us to remember to not just pray for goofy little things, although that's fine, but help us to find those high-level requests that we will pray that people discover your calling in their life, that we would pray that they would make the kind of friends that makes life more of a joy to them, that they could be used by you and figure out what you put them here for. So Lord, we just ask you to help us, remind us, using your word, to be those who follow the example of Jesus, in the way that we pray and in the way that we live. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe, we'll have a look at the arrest of Jesus as his road to the cross continues. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and knees.